Amen. Well, it's great to be here. It's lovely. It's a nice building, this building. Hallelujah. If you ever look at Matthew chapter 5, that will be good. We'll start there. And I hope you've been enjoying the live stream and the series that we are sharing. And praise the Lord. We are ministering on the Beatitudes, and we are on the third one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The poor have the kingdom of heaven, but the meek inherit the earth. So if you're poor in spirit and meek, you have the best of both worlds. You have the kingdom of heaven and inherit the earth. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So let's have a look at that. Father, we honor you and we bless you. We pray, dear God, that you'll give us utterances in the Holy Spirit. You'll open our ears and our hearts, Lord God, that we may hear and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Last week, we defined meekness from three different sources, from the Hebrew, the word oni. Now, excuse my Hebrew because I'm not a Hebrew scholar. So if somebody speaks Hebrew and you think that my pronunciation is bad, you're exactly correct. All right? But the word means that you go through the afflictions of life, and you come out the other end being tempered by life itself. And when you submit your life to Jesus, the things that go on, God is able to work all things for our good, even the difficult moments. And when we yield it to the dealings of God and going through life, we come out the other end being tempered by the things that we experience. And meekness is worked into our hearts. I observed a young fellow, really anointed and ministering. And every time he ministered, I cringe. Because it was great. It was fantastic. He was anointed. But many years later, someone said to me, did you have so-and-so speak? I said, yes. And then they said, what do you think? I said, he's different. He said, that's because he's been knocked around. Life has tempered him, and his ministry is now moving to another level because somehow the experiences of life has allowed him to be tempered. Are you okay? Does that make sense to you? That's what the Hebrew word means. And then the Bible says Moses, above all the men in the planet, was the meekest man. And then we come to the New Testament, and the Greek word is praus or praus. Now, again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but it's borrowed from the military context regarding the taming of a wild animal, where a wild animal is domesticated so that it is used to the human touch. And what they used to do, they'll take a wild animal and train that animal like a horse to be used for battle, a war horse, so that the horse can handle the noise of battle, the clashing of swords or the cannons and guns, and the horse, any horse at any time will just take off. But when the horse is, the phrase, it's bad English, but when the horse is being meeked, it is trained so that the wildness of the horse, its power is contained, and the horse is submitted to the hand of his master. And then we said last week, If you race a meek horse with a wild horse, I don't care how strong the wild horse is, it will never, ever win a race. There are many Christians like that. They are strong, they are wild, but they are not submitted to the dealings of God that God allows in their lives that come through others. And while they may be strong, they are lone rangers that going around and they will never ever be able to win a race. And then we said, if a horse is trained and he goes out to find wild horses, this trained horse has his master on it, about 100 plus or 200 pounds. Even though it carries the master on his back and carries a load, the wild horse carries nothing. It will always beat the wild horse. Why? Because it has been, in a sense, meat. Then we talk about the word mansutus, which is a Latin word. And again, it has to do with the training of wild animals. Man comes from the word manual, man. And sutus means, man means hand, manual. Sutus means to be used to. So you're used to the hand of God. A Christian that is submitted to the dealings of God is used to the hand of God. What do you see? I see a man's hand way out in the distance, and he said, tell the king to get on his chariot and go home. It's about to rain. But a wild animal that is used to the hand of the master. We shared on that last week. Some years ago, an old lady, a great mother in Israel, she sent me A4, about 3 or 4 pages. And it's a story of some horses. Now, it's not a true story, but it's a true illustration. A parable is a made-up story which is about life in reality. So it is a true story, but it's an illustration of a natural story that illustrates a spiritual meaning. Yeah. And I read this. She and her husband used to be pastors in Whanganui, and we got on very well. Her husband's now gone home to be with the Lord. But she sent me this thing, and I was reading it, and it's about horses, where a man went out and caught the horse, but this one he couldn't catch. He was just, wild, going everywhere. And he took 4 horses and tamed them. And he used them to pull a carriage. Is that the right pronunciation of that word? A carriage. And these horses were harnessed to one another, and they were pulling this carriage, and this wild horse will just run around, and he will come on the other side of the paddock by the track where the horse was pulling the carriage, and he said, look at you. How pathetic do you look? You should see yourselves from where I'm standing. You are bound up. You're pulling that carriage. You have no freedom. Look at me. I'm free. I can go anywhere I want. And then he'll gallop off into the distance. And these 4 horses were just pulling. Well, that's nice. Like many of us, we can say that. Because we see people that are submitted to things and they're restricted. And we find the freedom and we say, I remember one young man said he came to church and said, "Oh, you wear ties around here. People think that if you wear a tie, you're bound up in a tradition. You know why I wear ties? I like it." I don't wear a tie for a tradition. I wear a tie because I like it. Besides, I like to dress up when I go to the house of the Lord. Some people dress up better going to the pub than going to church. Are you okay? Then winter came. There was no feed, no grass, nothing. Everything was dead. And these four horses were pulling the carriage, all fit and strong. And this now horse that was free, now running around and could hardly make it because there's no feed, there's no food. He is cold. And he came over and he said to the four horses, "I wish I could swap places with any of you." What's the difference? One is wild, the other is tamed. Are you okay? You want to hear a funny story? Well, I'm talking about horses. There was a man that was an owner of race horses, and he loved to race the horses, and he heard that there was a man in another city who was selling horses, and he was famous for breeding very, very fast horses. So he drove over with his horse thing that put horses in, and he bought the horse, and he said to the man, he said, "Is there anything that you want me to know about this horse?" And the man said, "The horse is very, very fast." He said, "I'm used to fast horses." He said, "No, no, you're not used to this one. This is fast." And he was very curious. He said, "Anything else?" He said, "The horse is a Christian horse. We are a Christian family. And the horse, you never whip him. So when you get on it, you talk to the horse." And he said, "What do I say?" "Just say, praise the Lord." He said, "What?" He said, "Praise the Lord." "Is that what I said?" "That's what you say. So when you say praise the Lord, it'll take off." And he said, "Thank you," paid the money, and was driving home with his family. And he was curious about what the man said. So long before they got home, in the middle of nowhere, you know, they stopped the float at the side of the road. And he thought, he'll try the horse out. So he put the saddle on, got on the horse, and he whispered into the horse's ear, "Praise the Lord." That horse jumped the fence at the side of the road and took off. And the guy he's used to fast, and he, "This is good." And the wind was going past his ears, and then he said to the horse, "Praise the Lord." And the thing took off again. He said, "Goodness gracious me, I've never experienced this before. I thought it was at the maximum speed." But he took off, you know, and then he said, "Praise the Lord." And he took off again, faster than before. And he said, "I've never experienced a horse like this." And every time he went, he says, "Praise the Lord." And then he saw way out in the distance a cliff. And he realized he forgot to ask the man what to say to stop the horse. And he tried everything he knows. He's not a church-going man, but he tried everything he knows that he's heard from other people, but the horse kept on. And for some reason, he started to pray. He never prayed before. And after he prayed, he said, "Amen." The moment he said, "Amen," that animal locked all four and skidded, and he was about 2 feet from the cliff. And the guy was sweating. I said, "Praise the Lord." I thought it'd make you laugh. But when we are used to the master's hand, and we come into an area where meekness, and I don't think meekness is something that you arrived at. I think it's something that you always travel on. Hallelujah. And submission helps you to be meek. I try to tell young people many times, now this is not a slur on young people because I was young once, everybody was young once, and everybody understands that when you're young, you know everything. So you better hurry up and do everything before you, while you know everything. The Bible says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly, Jesus said. An abundant life, part of abundant life is being submitted to your parents. Honor your mom and dad, and it shall be well. It shall be. The reason why many young people are not meek is because they're so self-willed. But mom, but dad, I like to go to that party. All my friends are going to that party. All your friends may go to the party. Doesn't mean that you have to go to the party. And many young people get into trouble because they've never understood that part of abundant living is submission to your parents. And when you honor your mom and dad, the Bible says, wherever you go in God's green earth, you will prosper and you will live long. Now, parents are not the only ones that you submit yourselves to. When you go to school, you submit yourself to the school authority. We shared a while back, somebody came here to the school here and they wanted to wear an earring. And the school, you know, you're a student, you don't wear earrings at school. But the daddy said, my child wears earrings at home. And I said to the staff, tell that man his child when he comes to school is not at home. And when you concur with the behaviors that sometimes are not allowed in certain areas of your life, you'll never understand what meekness is. You go to school, you submit yourself to the school. You live in a country, you submit yourself to the laws of that country. When do you not submit? When the law is against God. Give honor to whom honor is due. Now, can you imagine if a church is like that? A church moves in a spirit of meekness. The vision of that church will always be fulfilled. Are you okay? Say amen. Amen. I had a friend, and he's passed away now, and he said, I'd like to write a book. I said, what's the title of the book? Surround Me with Yes Men. I said, I understand what you're saying, but people will kill you. Where two agree on earth, it's done for them in heaven. Why is God so, let me use vernacular form of words, all right? Our modern vernacular. Why is God so powerful? Because the Trinity is submitted to each other. Now, that may not be good theology, but can you imagine if the Trinity broke apart? Nothing will be left. And Jesus said, pray this, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if a church, if a company, if a country, whatever organization it is, if they will move in the spirit of meekness, you cannot stop it. Are you okay? I've got 8 minutes. I'll say 2 things and then we'll finish. I wish we weren't finished with this, but I did say that we'll only preach 3 messages on each of the Beatitudes. This is the 3rd one. All right? So I'll say a couple of things and then we'll finish. Why did Joseph go through the difficulties that he went through? First of all, it was his brother. His brother's threw him in a pit, and then he found himself in prison, and then he found himself in the palace. Now, if Joseph had never experienced the pit and the prison, his vision will never come to pass, because even though he was tremendously insightful, he was not meek. But after the prison, when the man was meek, he inherited everything. There was Pharaoh, and there was Joseph. But he had to go through a process where meekness is worked into his heart so that when he comes out, he could bless everybody. Let me read to you 3 scriptures, and then we will close. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. What is that? Meek. Meekness happens when you are provoked. When Moses was provoked, his answer was very soft. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Talking about Jesus, Peter said, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. What is that? That's meekness. When he was reviled, he didn't revile back. If he did, no Roman soldier would ever survive. And we will be doomed forever. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Shimei said, thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. What did David do? Nothing. And when Abishai said, give me a break, I'll cut the dog's neck off, David said, leave him alone. If my children are against me, how come a stranger can't be against me? What is that? That's meekness. Our difficulty many times in our Western culture, we so insist on our own ideas, our own thinking, that we think we are absolutely right. Let me give you a bit of advice. Suspect your own righteousness. There's only one who's absolutely right, but when you revile him, he doesn't revile back. And if we could do that as a people, as a church, in families, because we are not just submitted to authority, we are submitted to each other. I wish I had more time to share on this, but my time is up. Let me leave you with this. Submission is submission to God, but you also submit to His people. Many people love to submit to God, but they don't submit to God's people. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. If you're listening from home, if you're watching a live stream, maybe you've never submitted your life to the one who gave you life. Without God, there would have been no sunrise this morning. Without God, there would be no breath in your lungs. Without God, there would be no life. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord, but today you can do that. Secondly, we're going to pray for that. Secondly, we're going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray, because it's been in my heart for a whole week, for everyone. You may be here in the auditorium, you may be watching by live stream, everyone that has a heart condition, that you've got a problem with your heart, we're going to pray for you. But let's pray first for those that may want to give their lives to the Lord. And I'm going to pray, maybe it'll be great if you follow me in the prayer. It'll help those who are at home and help many that will be watching that may want to give their lives to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Submit my life to you to be Lord and Savior of my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Live in me. I'll serve you. I'll live for you the rest of my days. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the forgiver of sins. And you have forgiven me today. Help me to live in victory. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let me pray. If you're here, you've got a heart condition, maybe you're watching at home. If you're here or at home, can you just lift your hand if you've got that condition? I'm going to pray for us. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for those whose hands are uplifted. You're the healer of our lives, our bodies. You're the healer of our hearts, physical and spiritual. And I pray for those whose hands are uplifted, that you'll minister your virtue to bring healing in the name of Jesus Christ. That there be restoration and wholeness, Father God, in the name of the Lord. We thank you today. You're a good God to us. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Well, have a great Sunday. It's exactly 1 minute past 10. You can go home and have a good lunch.